All right, how you doing, everyone? Hello again. I am Russ Salzberg. Today I'm joined by my co-host here, Jeff Eagles, on Big Blue Kickoff right here on Giants.com. The number, as always, is 201-939-4513, or if you so desire, on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. And look, I guess the deal is, it's not where do we go from here. We know where we go from here.
You go to week six.
You go to week six. you got to go and take care of your business and get dressed. And, you know, that old saying that, you know, Ben McAdoo, it's not an old saying. It's a saying that's gone on for a long time, next man up. I think that's the only approach you can have. Listen, are the Giants up against it? Big time they're up against it. Not only do they have – I mean, they went from Odell Beckham and Brandon Marshall and Sterling Shepard to Travis Rudolph and Tavares King and, you know, Roger Lewis. But it's up to these guys to go ahead, do the very best they can. Where I say they're up against it, if there's ever a good time to have these bad, you know, these rash of injuries, I mean, they're facing the Denver Broncos in Denver this week, and then they come home to face the Seattle Seahawks. You're talking about two of the better defenses in the league, so that's why I'd say they're up against it.
No, well, they're up against a good team at home. But, you know, to talk a little bit, Russ, about, you know, the guys and the next man up, you can change the cliche, but the bottom line is that these young guys now get an opportunity. They didn't make the 53-man roster. When I'm talking about, you know, Egan and Travis Rudolph. Now, Tavares King, he was here. He was just cut a couple weeks ago. But, you know, the good thing about it, these kids know the playbook. There's not going to be a huge learning curve there. So you can insert these guys into an offense that they're used to. Where, suppose if they didn't have these guys and then they're going to go out and try to get some street free agents, there's going to be a learning curve in there. Then the Giants are in some deep trouble. But, you know, listen, maybe Sterling Shepard makes it back. Who knows? I'd read and heard that he said it wasn't that serious. So who knows? Maybe he comes back. That would be good. I'm sure that the flight across the country is not going to do well for somebody with an ankle injury. But the fact is that the young guys can come in here. They can play. They know the offense. I guess when you talk about the Denver Broncos, you talk about their defense. And you talk about a defense that gets after it on the run. And unfortunately, if you're the Giants and you want to run the football because you have these receivers that are out, that's going to be tough because the Denver Broncos, they stop the run really well. Flip side of it, Russ, is that their offense, they don't have a very good offensive line. And they don't run the football all that well, and they don't throw the ball all that well. But it's just the Denver Broncos defense is what you have to look back.
Okay, but let's go to what you just said. Their offensive line is not that good. Their offense is not that good. Having said that, how much pressure does that get put on the Giants defense to step up and make stops, of which they failed to do in each of the past 3 weeks, resulting in losses?
Well, I think that you just, you know, where is Olivier Vernon in this? Is he going to be back? You know, what's the situation with Eli Apple? Was he going to be starting? Is he not going to be starting? This defense is, you know, they let a guy run for over 100 yards again. Where Gordon, the highest he ran for was 79 yards coming into that game last week. They got their running game going against the Giants. Seems like every team had their running game going against the Giants. Looking at their rushing. Let's see here. I got the stats here, Russ. Look at this here.
You put on your glasses. Don't
yeah,
try
I got to put on my glasses.
Don't try and fake old. It.
All right, so Anderson's got 73 carries for 330 yards, 4.5-yard average, and that's about it. You know, you got Charles who has 175 yards, but for a team, they're rushing 4.4 yards an average, 3 rushing touchdowns. The Broncos play well at home. They're 3-1, but they are – how are they only 3-1? Hold on a second. Who gave me these stats? Oh, they had a bye. They must have already had a bye, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they beat the Chargers, the Cowboys, and the Raiders all at home. But, you know, to answer your question, how do you fix this defense? I mean, when you look at it, Russ, the offense has put up 20 points or more a game the last 3 weeks. The defense has been on the field the three of the last 3 weeks with a lead in the fourth quarter and have squandered that lead. Especially they give up a 92-yard. This one's the one that killed me.
Oh, no, this past week, to me,
92-yard drive with three critical third down plays.
Was it third and 15? Well,
there was one third and 15 in there. There was a third and nine. And I think there was maybe a third and 6
11
there,
or, yeah,
it was 11 or 30. Yeah. But still, 92 yards, and they give up a touchdown on that drive. You know, you look at that defense is going to get off the field. It's a repetitiveness that we talk about this over and over and over. And you got to find a way to get off the field, and you got to find a way to tackle. Just little things to win football games, and just going on the road. You're 0-5. You're feeling sorry for yourselves. You're out of practice today. There's doom and gloom in the building everywhere. It's like you got to get excited about still playing. You still have a lot of football left, and you know what? You take them one at a time, one game at a time, one practice at a time. Prepare better than you have in the past. I'm just telling you the way it is, folks, because I've been there.
Well,
I've been there for 22 seasons. I was in locker rooms. I understand the culture and what happens in it, and it's tough.
You have been in that. That was going to be my next question to you. And I've been in a lot of those locker rooms. Listen, I was in that 0-6 locker room, you know, a few years back. I was in that locker room where they lost 7 in a row during the season. I've been in a lot of losing locker rooms. It's not, quite frankly, when they say, well, guys are walking around depressed. Well, they're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be happy. If you're happy walking around in a losing locker room, then something is bad wrong. But that's the fine line, and I guess that's up to the coaches and up to the guys, each one, to look themselves in the mirror. You're professionals. You're paid money.
You got to go ahead. Yeah. You got to be mad. Yeah. You got to be mad at what's going on. You got to be mad at your teammates. You got to be mad at yourself. And you got to be mad, and you got to – I mean, talk about getting even. I want to go out, and I think the Denver Broncos are going to have to be the team that we take everything out on. And what a better way to get away from the media, get away from home,
go on the road,
collectively get together, go down there, focus, win a game on the road, and maybe that starts a shift in the upward position. You just kind of, okay, we got a good win on the road. We got that next win coming up, and then we just kind of build on it. Get back to 500. Get back to 500, but you got to only get back to 500 by winning one at a time.
Boy, 500.
No,
but you're right. But you know what? Before you can get to 500, you got to get to the one.
I understand that.
You got to get to
– But you have to kind of like, you know, as the season goes, you always have – you have long-term goals. You have season goals. But some of those goals have to be rearranged when all of a sudden your goal is to win the Super Bowl. When you're 0-5, you're not winning the Super Bowl. So now you have to readjust. So what is our new goals now? Our new goals is to win the first one. I mean, no. There should be no other goals whatsoever other than to win the first game.
But we were saying that last week. You know, you can't win two before you win one. You can't win three before you win two, and so on and so forth. You know what? The Yankees are playing in a game five tonight. They couldn't get to game five until they won the first game.
Yeah.
They couldn't get to, get you know, game four until they won the first game.
It wouldn't have to be a game five if they had won game three.
Yep. Well, shoulda, woulda, coulda. It doesn't work out that way.
Yeah.
Early injury report, folks. Jonathan Casillas with the neck. This doesn't tell us the extent. Just early injury report. Casillas with the neck. Landon Collins the ankle. Perkins still with the ribs. Richburg still with the concussion protocol. Sterling, as Jeff just mentioned, the ankle, and Olivier Vernon, also the ankle. Again, the number to call, as always, is 201-939-4513, or if you so desire, on Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. What do you say we open up the phone lines this morning, head down to Florida, and speak with Victor. Victor, how are you today?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm very disappointed. I mean, there's so many people that call up and talk about the offensive line. They talk about McAdoo. They talk about the losing streak that we're having. They talk about all the problems that we're having. But nobody has yet mentioned the name Jerry Reese.
Yeah, they have. I don't know what you've been listening to.
I myself don't think that he's a good general manager, okay?
Uh-huh.
But you can cut me off. You can tell me whatever you
want.
Victor.
He
spent $210 million
on defense, and he didn't spend one penny on the offensive line.
Which is so important.
Will you listen?
Okay,
goodbye, Victor. Listen. Jerry Reese, Ben McAdoo, all the players, ownership, everybody, you can criticize. Nobody was criticizing the $200 million spent last season when the defense was tremendous. So stop. And to say, believe me, we're not saying anybody's above criticism, but to say that Jerry Reese hasn't been criticized and nobody's been talking about that, that's ridiculous, because he has been criticized at great length. So to say he hasn't is just plain stupid. But, yeah, you always become a bad coach. You always become a bad GM. You always become bad this and that when you don't win. And as soon as you win, oh, forget about it. Let's throw a party and have a parade right down Broadway. Or Reese Rutherford, whatever you so choose. But really, folks, don't call up and tell us something that's not true. Because believe me, Jerry's been taking it on a chin, and he hasn't complained about it because that's the way Jerry is. And he's the first guy to tell you. I mean, they've been complaining about Jerry from day one when he first got the job. Nobody ever complained when you win. They weren't complaining last year at 11-5. 0-5? Complaints. And you know what? Jerry and Ben know that comes with the territory. They're not complaining about that. But for you to call up and say nobody's complained about him, that's a little ridiculous. Chris in Syracuse. Chris, you're on with Russ and Jeff.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up?
Hey, sometimes it is tough when you're talking to hear you guys. There's like a little bit of a delay, so I just wanted to say that. But to make my point real quick, I'll hop off. I'm in a sick way excited about where we're at.
That's a sick way.
That's a nice way to put it, Chris. Because,
hopefully the delay got to you by us saying that is very sick.
Yeah. Well, obviously, like, you know, where we're at now, you don't want to see the injuries, but we weren't going anywhere this year at this point. So it's like, if you're going to get hit with the injury bug, unfortunately, you know, that's terrible for the players. But as far as the team perspective goes, we weren't going anywhere. So it's and now I'm hopeful that maybe McAdoo will have his three wide 11 personnel blankie taken away and start having to go more too tight to start coaching out of his comfort zone. And we'll see if maybe he can, you know, get some new things kind of going in the wheelhouse and have a little bit more balance. I'm not saying that he's not more balanced this year than he was last year, but I definitely think this is going to force him to coach outside of his comfort zone and try to find a power running game, try to find some other things to get moving. And maybe he'll grow into a coach that's a little bit more balanced and that the fans and myself will be a little bit more pleased with. I'll just take your comments off the air.
No. Chris, stay on for a second. I think, you said goodbye. Well, thank you. But I think Chris makes a fair point. I think everybody under this circumstance now gets, you got to go back to the drawing board and come up with something, be it a new, I'm not saying abandon your beliefs, but obviously your personnel is not the same. And sometimes, listen, you have to suit, you know, what you have with your personnel.
Well, I also think that, you know, where you talk about the tight end position, you know, Evan Engram now is probably going to kind of roll into maybe a hybrid tight end receiver position, and where Matt Lacoste has been inactive for the last 2-3 weeks in a row. So you may see him come in. Jarrell Adams is going to get a little bit more work at the tight end. You got Red Ellison. So the caller's right. Maybe you get out of some of the 11 personnel that you normally run and have to move into the 21 or whatever you want to call it, and then kind of mix up your formations and come out with some different. These guys, the young guys, okay, Tavares King, remember, he caught a touchdown pass last year in the playoff game. So this isn't a guy that's just coming off the street that doesn't know anything about playing in the National Football League or, more importantly, with the Giants. It's the other guys. Travis Rudolph has been on the practice squad, and the other guy, Egan, these guys are not ready to – they haven't played for the Giants in a regular season game before. Sterling Shepard, you kind of hope, but there is going to be a little bit of an evolutionary change here as far as game planning for the personnel that you have. So it's interesting to me to see what type of two things in my mind. Do you stick with Wayne Gallman, and do you stick with DJ Fluker at right guard? I, you know, last week, John Jerry was a little bit banged up. He was put in the game, and then he was taken out, and then that running game started to flourish again with Fluker in, which it did the week before. So I'm just interested to see what happens there. The other thing is, you know, we talk about offense, offense, offense. I don't think that, aside from the injuries, that is something to talk about. But the bottom line here is we should be talking more about the defense than the offense, in my opinion, because the defense to me is something that has not changed since last year, Russ. On paper, this was the same team.
Listen, we were talking about it, myself and David Deal, yesterday. If the defense coulda, woulda, shoulda made a stop in each of the past three games in the fourth quarter, this team would be, not that they'd be great, but the record, you are what the record says you are, you would be 3-2. There's every reason to look at the last 3 weeks and say they should have won each of those games and they should be 3-2. At no worst, 2-3, not 0-5. And a lot of that goes on the shoulders of the defense. You're 100% right.
Where you're in, okay, so there's a lot of football left. There's 11 weeks in football left, okay? And you are in the conversation in the NFC East because you got a Philly team that's winning at 4. They're at 4-1. The rest of the teams are, the Giants would be in the conversation going into the sixth week as far as the NFC East goes, okay? And now the target would be on Philadelphia to try to get other teams to knock them off, and then you still have to play Philly again. So, but now you're not in the conversation. So what is our conversation? Our conversation is that how are you going to fix what you've dug yourself into? And I think it starts with the defense being able to get off the field, making some plays, and where are the turnovers? Where are the turnovers? We got one. Darren Thompson finally got a turnover, a first interception of the season in week 5. That's really not good. And I think that if this defense can start making some plays and getting off the field and getting some interceptions and some turnovers, things might get a little bit better. But until you get those, and until some of the fundamentals are improved, and some guys figure out that they want to start playing football the way you should, nothing's going to change, Russ.
All right. What do you say we travel way across the pond to merry old England and chat with Jay? Jay, how you doing today?
We should say good evening, Jay.
Hello?
Jay, how are you, buddy? Jay?
Hello?
Jay?
Hello?
It's a long ways over.
I mean, you are in England, so we'll bear with you here. Do you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you guys.
All right, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, how you doing? So I know you guys kind of get beat up a lot by fans calling in, telling you what's wrong from their perspective and everything. So I'll go a little bit different. Like, what is it that you see that's wrong with this team, and what would you like changed going forward?
Let me ask you a question. Can you answer that question first for us, and then we can kind of go off of it?
Personally,
I would really be curious because I know that this is a fan call-in show. You guys have, you know, you'd like to call in and get our opinions, but more importantly, a lot of times I think the other callers would like to hear what other people have to say.
Yeah, and I think it's beating to a dead horse. I think everything starts at the line. With defensive line and O-line, it starts there.
Like most teams.
Yeah, if Eli doesn't have the time to read and scan the field, it's going to be short slants all the way because he's not going to have the time. And teams are going to pick up on that. That's why you see with the receivers when they're running their routes, they have 2 to 3 guys on them because they know what's coming. They know it's going to be a short slant, take it to the hole if they can, if it can break a run or not. So if we're not running the ball, we become one-dimensional. If we're one-dimensional, teams are just going to sit in zones. So, to me, it's O-line. But maybe there's something different. Maybe you guys have a better aspect. Trust me, for me, it's hard watching this. And the reason why it's hard is because I'm up at 3 in the morning watching the game. And I go to work at 5 o'clock. So, it's hard to watch this. So, maybe you guys have a better understanding than me. And maybe you can tell me what it is you guys think is wrong and what would you like to see changed.
Well, listen, if you want to start with the line, I mean, we could start there. I think that, you know, what happened last year with an 11-5 team, you know, and Jerry had said, these are the guys that we're going to go to battle with. We feel confident in them. We got 2 young tackles, and, you know, they need to play better. They went through an offseason where they improved on some things. But when you look up to this point, that line has been inconsistent, both from an ability standpoint and from an availability standpoint. Both, you look at the changes that have been going on. We got Justin Pugh playing, you know, right tackle when he's a borderline all-pro left guard.
Well, we know that the offensive line has been the whipping boys, you know, all season long, you know, coming right out of the gate. So, but as we've said also in the past, it's not, there's plenty of blame to go around here. Would we like to see them play better? Yeah, I mean, But we have seen them play better the past couple of weeks.
And I wasn't stopping there. I mean, I just wasn't going to stop at the offensive line and say, that's it. That's the problem. That isn't the problem. And when you talk about it, it's just that's one part of the problem. The other part is that when you cannot run the football, as they haven't done at the beginning of the year, okay, you have no balance, no rhythm. Eli Manning is a rhythmic quarterback. When he has protection and when he has a running game, you look at the rhythm he plays in. He's not dinking and dunking. He's throwing the ball down the field and has good rhythm.
Right.
I've not seen that type of rhythm out of this football team this year. Now, the flip on the other side, the defense. Where is the run stopping ability that the Giants did last year? And when I look at it on paper and I look at who is on this team, and with the additions of Tomlinson. Okay, come from Oklahoma. From Alabama. The guy can play football. Okay, it just goes to show you a little bit more about Jonathan Hankins and how important it was to that run defense. Because last year, you know, they could double team Snacks and Jonathan Hankins could make plays. All right, now I'm not telling you that Tomlinson, he's going to get better. Okay, but the fact is that defense is giving up way too much running. And really, when you think about zone defense, the Giants maybe should try to go to a little bit more zone to keep people in front of them. Because in man defense, these guys are running all over the place. They're wide open, and that's where they're getting hit on third down. So those are just some of the things. And not to mention, okay, got to stick with the three. We already covered the two. Special teams, okay? We got an 88-yard punt return. We've got two shank punts, okay? We've got penalties on field goals. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Now, and the last one, I'm sorry, Russ. Those are the facets of the game. Offense, defense, and special team. The other problem is there some discipline problems here where how can you line up in the neutral zone 2 weeks in a row, okay, when you're a defensive end, an all-pro defensive end? How can you have a delay of the game on a two-point conversion when you're getting the ball inside the five-yard line and with a five-yard penalty and now you're backed up? Okay, these are the disciplined mental errors that you make when you're an 0-5 team you cannot overcome. You'll never overcome these. It's just the little things that get you from 0-5, and you got to correct those to get to 1-5.
You got it, Jay?
Yeah, last
that was really a lot, and I'm sorry, Jay, for taking up
your time. You're calling from England. What else, Jay, before we say goodbye?
Last question. How much of this also is coaching? And just game planning for the game. Thanks, guys.
All right, Jay. Well, you know, that was going to be my question to you.
Well,
you mentioned, for example, you know, some of the penalties. Is that at 0-4? For example, they were 0-4 going into last week. Is that losing focus because of the circumstance of the team? And if you, I, you know,
absolutely
pressing and
well, listen. Eli Apple, the week before, had two pass interference calls for over 40 yards of penalties. Okay, that's basically on the player. That's not on the coach.
Well, so let me ask you this: could the defense? And I'm sure a lot of fans want to know, but everybody wants to know what is with the defense. Could this defense have taken themselves for granted, and we were great last year, and we're just going to be great again this season?
Listen, we're all human beings. We all. I'm hoping at this level that everybody can read.
Right.
Sometimes yeah, I question that over the years I played football.
Right.
But the fact is that you cannot listen to anything that anybody says from 2015 to 2016, it's a different team. It's a different component. It's a different culture. It's different players. What was last year was last year. You have to come back and prove that last year wasn't a fluke. And I think that sometimes people are human. They listen to people a little bit too much, how good they are, okay? And then they take it for granted that they can just go out there and show up and play football. And very quickly you will understand that that's not how the National Football League works. Because you know why, Russ? Because the other guys get paid too. We hear that all the time.
But it's
and
true.
Not only do the other guys get paid too, the players, guess who else gets paid? The coaches. And they are good. All the coaches in the National Football League are really good coaches. And you can tell by how some of them make in-game adjustments that you look and go, wow, you know, that's brilliant. How did they know that they were doing this and they switched? I mean, it's incredible to me. So you have to be able to be accountable and come out the next year and not read how good you were last year and come out and play.
Well, I mean, that's going to be incumbent upon the defense this weekend, because the offense is going to need some help, okay? And the defense is going to need to give him that help and try and keep the Broncos offense off the board. All right, what do you say we go to Ken nearby in Jersey? Kenny, how are you today?
Kenny in Jersey.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
What's up, Ken?
Always a pleasure to talk to you. I will try to be as calm as possible.
You do whatever you want. It's your show.
It is. No, it's definitely not my show. It's the New York Giants show. I'm just a fan. I will tell you this. If this team played the entire season out, won a decent amount of games, missed the playoffs, it would be disappointing, but nowhere near as disappointing as everybody looking forward to a winning season for 8 months and it being over in a month. It's very frustrating. And I know that we had some injuries this past week and it was crazy, but we stunk before that. You know, Ben McAdoo is the head coach. I'm not going to get on him too bad. I know he had an 11-win season last year, but we can't give a man too much credit for lining up with the same formation and calling a handful of plays out of the same formation for 17 straight games. I mean, a Pop Warner coach can have a Cheesecake Factory menu in front of him and only call one play. You know, like, I mean, give me a break. The defense, as far as the defense, I think this entire team came into this season cocky and didn't work as hard. And you can tell in the fourth quarter of every game. They cannot get a stop, and they cannot score points except for the Eagle game.
Well, I'm going to just disagree with one thing you say, Ken, and what your points are, you know, well thought out. I think the cocky attitude may very well be, cocky, taking some things for granted. You know, just as Jeff said, it's forget what you did last season. Now you got to prove it again this season. Not working as hard. I've been around them, you know, every day, you know, from training camp on. I mean, the work and the work ethic, I see that. But, you know, if you're taking your attitude for granted, maybe that is a problem. I'm not saying you're altogether wrong, but I just don't see any problem with working hard. That's my take.
I will tell you this.
Both players that were all pros last year are not playing like all pros this year. And that seemed to have gone to their head. Landon Collins and Snacks Harrison.
I got to believe that the team is playing hard, okay? And I think that you go out there and you look at the – I don't think there's any quit in them. But I just think they're – you know, collectively, they're not playing well together. And they're not individually understanding, you know, how to play better. I mean, is it preparation on their part? You know, it's very difficult for anybody sitting in this seat, you know, whether it's Russ or Mike or whoever's here. I don't care. We're not inside the locker room. We're not in meetings, okay? We're not inside at halftime. So, you know, you have to just kind of from an outside perspective look at what's going on, and this is how we come up with our opinions on things. There could be a lot of things that are just, you know, that we have no clue about. But sometimes when you're making mental mistakes – and you're not doing the fundamentals of football, then that to me is a little bit of, you know, lack of maybe preparation on the player side, not so much the coaching side. But what are the – when you are 0-5 and you have to change things, you need to take a good big picture look and say – and it starts with you. Russ, what is it that you got to do to get better to help us 52 other guys win? And that's right down the line. Every single one of those is for Brad Wing. Is it kicking 10 extra punts inside the 5-yard lines after practice? If that's what it takes, then do it. Okay. Is it Eli Manning studying an hour of extra tape on his opponents? Whatever it is, that everybody has to do their part in trying to get better. And the one thing that you have to really throw the caution flag to is starting to point fingers at one another and saying, hey, you know, well, I'm doing this, but this guy isn't doing this. You know, and this is where I always thought that this is funny from experience, is that whenever these situations happen, and I was on some really crappy teams. I mean, I played for the Cardinals, for God's sakes, right?
And then,
I mean, it was just horrible. And sure enough, as soon as we go on a 2-3-4-game losing streak, you knew that the soapbox was going to be thrown into the locker room and somebody was going to get up on that sucker and start talking about, hey, we got to do this and we got to do that. And I always thought it was so funny that why does it have to be so late? I mean, why can't somebody at the beginning of the season say, you know what, I'm not going to get on the soapbox after we've lost five in a row. I want to get up and now and say we are going to do everything we can to win and stay as united as we can and keep going.
Well, that's like being a second guesser instead of a first guesser.
No question.
Let me do it, you know, from the get-go, not when we're in trouble.
Oh, and it was just.
I do want to say one more thing, guys, before you guys let me go.
Sure,
go ahead, Ken.
I feel like this team, and this isn't just Ben McAdoo, because he's been here as an offensive coordinator, but Tom Coughlin was the head coach, and we still couldn't run the ball. That is a very important part of football. I mean, I can't stress that enough. Reason why we are losing at the end of games, and we've been running the football better in the past couple of weeks. But I don't even think McAdoo cares to. We were running the football great, and when we got into a four-minute offense, he threw the ball, I thought, way too much.
Well, Ken, and thanks for the call. I don't know. I don't know if it's a question of not caring to run the ball. I also think it's a matter of the personnel you have to be able to run the ball. Now, Wayne Gallman has given us signs that he can run the ball, and quite frankly, I'm not completely done with Paul Perkins. I believe, and I said that going into this season, I'm just not going to abandon that. I believe Paul Perkins can be a good runner in this league.
Well, I think
and Darkwa has shown us signs, sure. But we have not gotten any consistency from it. And I guess, you know, it's the same thing, the shin bones connected to the knee bone and the hip bone and this and that. It's your offensive line. It's never just one thing. I mean, you're not going to run if there's not a hole to run through, and it's all connected.
I think when you look at the situation that the caller was alluding to was the fact that late in the game when you know they tried to start running the ball, instead the Giants start passing it, and even that they take one of their best runners during the game out of the game. Now I will caution you that a lot of coaches and McAdoo's really it didn't seem to be like he was one of these types of coaches because he always tells you I'm not afraid to play young players. But sometimes when you're in a game, you as a coach like to go to the veteran. You like to go to a guy that you know that can possess the football and not fumble the ball and lose the game. And I think a lot of it, that's why you saw Shane Vereen at the end of the game last week and not the other guys. So that's just my opinion. But bottom line is, when you have a guy that can run the football, keep him in there. You know, but you gotta have holes to run through, like you said, Russ.
201-939-4513, the number to call, or on Twitter, it is #GiantsChat. Let's go shuffle off to Buffalo, speak with Frank. How are you today, Frank?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I just wanted to call and say a few things about Jerry, but before I do, I wanted to say I really enjoy listening to both of you. Jeff, your philosophy is great. And Russ, being from Brooklyn myself and living in Buffalo, I love the accent.
Where in Brooklyn, buddy?
Sheepshead Bay.
Where in Sheepshead Bay?
Avenue T, off Ocean.
Avenue T off Ocean. So wait a minute. Now, when did you head out to Buffalo?
I got here in 1987. I spent 10 years in Boston, and until then, I lived in Brooklyn.
Avenue T and Ocean. So what, you went to Madison High School?
No, I went to a Jesuit school called Brooklyn Prep, but my father went to Madison.
There you go. Okay, I know the hood very well. I'm from Nostrand Avenue. Anyway, what's up, Frankie?
I'm a decision theorist, and I think I know a little bit about that. And one of the things that bothers me are the Monday morning quarterbacks. When you judge a decision, you have to judge it on the information that's available when you make a decision. And it seems as if everyone thought that Jerry had performed magic over the off season, you know, signing Marshall and drafting this great rookie tight end, et cetera. It just didn't work out, but I think it's unfair to criticize anyone after the fact. It might have worked out had a ball bounced one way as opposed to another way, and, you know, there's a lot of chance involved in what happens in the real world. So that once a decision is made, you should criticize it then, but not after the fact, because sometimes you make dumb choices, they turn out okay. You make smart choices, they don't. But it's the information that's available when you make the decision that's really relevant.
Well, Frank, that's the difference, and I'm sure Jeff will concur, that's the difference between a first guest and a second guest. Listen, I have no problem with fans reacting and being disappointed. I get it. And that goes with the media as well. Where I have a problem with, I didn't hear anybody complaining. Just and the Frank, you bring up the points. I didn't hear anybody complaining about the signings of Marshall or the drafting of Ingram or the signing of Rhett Ellison. Nobody was complaining about that. Everybody was thrilled about that. And much of the media, you know, News in the Post, I pulled out their previews. I got them in my bag. Each one had them 10-6 going to the playoffs. So my point is, if you, along with everybody else, expected them to go to the playoffs and you were applauding the decisions, now you're killing them now. Why are you killing them now? Because they made you look bad with your decision? You know, but no, I've been arguing about that, not just this season. I'll say that all the time. Believe me, if anybody would have said, what the hell is Jerry and the Giants doing? Signing this guy and that guy and making this picking this draft pick and that free agent. I get that. Then you're entitled to say, see, I told you so. But if you want guys' necks on the line, is your neck on the line? Because you're going out saying the same thing.
Say it early.
I couldn't agree with you more, Russ. Couldn't agree with you more.
Well, it proves your point. I mean, your point is that you should, yeah. I mean, it should be earlier than later, making the comments, but until, you know, and the information is provided to you, is basically what you judge that, you judge the information, you make the decision, and then you live with it, whether it's good or bad. But, you know, and again, the drafting is not a perfect science. We all know that. It's very difficult. And a lot of times, you know, the guys that should be good in the pros are not, and the guys that should barely make the pros turn into all pros. You know, you never know. It's a tough situation. Really,
it's like buying a stock. If you knew what was going to happen in a week, you'd
amen.
Be a rich man.
Yep, no, the first guess and the second guess, big difference. Thanks very much, Frank. Really appreciate the call. But that, to me, has always been a complaint. If you're going to kill them, so what the hell are they doing? What kind of idiotic move is this? Why did you make – it's not just – it's all sports. Why are you breaking that starting pitcher? Why are you putting him in that situation? But – if it works out, everybody's quiet.
Well, the thing about it is that, you know,
that's what's being a fan is. I get that.
Well, yeah.
And that's what being in the media is. I get that as well.
And the organization puts their, you know, it puts their faith in the guys that they are employing to make these decisions to better the team. Okay. And so you build your scouting department, your general manager, you know, those people are responsible for making personnel decisions. And they do their due diligence. They do their homework. It's an impossible science to try to be 100% on every pick that there ever was. I mean, look at Ahmad Bradshaw, for God's sakes. I mean, you look at Tom Brady. I mean, these are just some of the examples of it. There's busts in this league. First-round draft picks that people spend all this money on and all this time and effort, and then they get in 3 years later, they're done. You know, so it happens.
I remember Blair Thomas?
Yeah. Yeah,
Blair Thomas, Penn State. I remember speaking to George Young. You know, Jets had him pick number one pick, I believe it was, and basically was a bust. Okay, yeah. A number one pick was a bust. And I remember talking to George Young about it. And George, you know, as George would sit with his hands on his chest, he'd look, says, "We all had him. Everybody in this league had him as a top pick, as a can't
sure.
miss. Sometimes it and what's just that doesn't tell you? Work."
And we all had him.
Yeah.
But did we all know he was going to be a bust? No.
No.
We all had him as the number one guy.
That's it. All right, let's speak to our buddy in Columbia, Maryland. That can only be Len. Len, how are we doing today?
Hey, thanks. Just crushing week for the Giants. Crushing week.
Yes, indeed.
I hope the kid gets better. I hope he makes his money. It's a big loss for the team. It's a big loss for the fans. Brutal for the franchise. And brutal for the kid, obviously. And I hope he makes it back. Russ, you'll be able to relate to this probably a little more than Jeff this morning.
Oh, of course, he's 20 years old.
You can't underestimate the importance of those 8 years, 56 through 63, in Giants history, with YA at the back end, the effect that it had on the city, on the team, on the NFL. I mean, it jump-started the NFL.
Well,
those eight years jump-started the NFL.
Len, that's when I, if you will, that's when I fell in love with football.
I know. It was easy to do. But that's, you know, it just jump-started the whole thing. Hey, Jeff, I understand what you were saying about, oh, by the way, Jeff, I got to get this in. Honest to God, I'm meeting six people tonight at the Cheesecake Factory for dinner.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to be able to look at that menu. I'm going to think Giants.
Remember, there's only one play on there.
I'm going to look at the menu from appetizers to desserts, and I'm going to see plays on that menu.
Yeah, just make sure you don't wear a headset in there, will you?
There you go. All right, listen, one of the things I wanted to say. I think you're right. By going on the road, you know, we can focus. I hope we can. It's going to be a tough week to kind of focus. I want to get through this week badly. I want to get through it. And it's going to be tough to do. Jeff, I'm not turning the TV on until 8:25 on Sunday night.
All right. Don't listen to anybody else what they want to say.
No, Jeff, they're going to be killing us.
No, they're already killing us.
Oh, they're not going to be.
I mean, from 9 o'clock in the morning, those network shows – those talking heads can't wait to get to address this Giants problem. And we got to wait all day for Sunday night.
Len, I got to tell you, as many games I played, and we've lost brutal games in my career where we should have won games and we got blown out, there is nothing worse, and you had mentioned it, can't wait until the next week. You can't wait to get to Sunday because, man, these weeks, they're long. And they get longer. And the more games you lose, the longer the weeks get. I don't know what – I can't tell you. They don't change. They're still 24 hours in the day. But I tell you what, it sure seems like it's 3 weeks before you play next.
Len, you know this. You've been covering it, sports, football for a long time. When you lose, and especially if there were expectations, man, that everybody is coming out with the hammer – and boxing gloves, and they're socking you in the face and sucker punching you. Do you remember? You remember when Tom Coughlin was here? When Tom was here, of course you do. I believe it was Terry Bradshaw. And I'm just paraphrasing, but I believe Terry Bradshaw said he was terrible, and I think he might have even called him a bad guy, and nobody liked him. I mean, that's what happens. And everybody, it becomes a snowball effect, and they jump on
it. Chris Carter will never forget losing that championship game in the early 2000s, 41-0. He's had it against the Giants ever since that day. And Rodney Harrison, he's never going to forgive David Tyree for hanging onto that ball against his head. And he's got it against the Giants for that.
Oh, yeah,
he kills them everywhere.
Them out there. They're going to be killing us. Let me say one thing on a positive note. It's going to be tough to overcome. These were tough losses this week, especially the Odell. This is tough. We're playing with a short deck. Let's get a game plan together. Let's get to the fourth quarter. If we can get to the fourth quarter and we're in the game, we take a shot. Maybe we got a shot. And Ben will give him something. Ben's going to give him a game plan that can get us through this, even with the short deck. Hey, I didn't hear the start. You went over the injury report. What was the deal on Shepard?
Shepard is his ankle. He's day to day.
That's all they give us.
Is he in a boot?
He was in a boot this morning.
Oh boy! Oh my God!
All right, Lenny.
Okay. Well, all right. Listen.
A lot of times those boots.
Execute the game plan, guys.
All right,
execute
Len.
The game plan.
Thank you very much. Enjoy yourself a cheesecake.
A lot of times the boots are, they look worse than they are, but they're basically for support and healing. So you kind of want him in a boot if he has to wear it. It's better than a cast. If he's in a cast, there's something seriously wrong. Although, it's funny because there was I remember I was at the Eagles one year and we had those boots. And the trainers put this guy, he was a defensive lineman, he was a wackadoo. What was his name? Anyways, just crazy. They put him in a cast because they knew that if he put him in a boot, he would not you know stay off of it.
So they put, so him, they put, in put him in a cast on purpose.
Yeah, on purpose. Yeah.
Well, he's not Sterling Shepard's not in a cast. He is in a boot, and they say he's day to day. So obviously, quite frankly, I thought his was worse than it is.
You know who it was? Keith Millard. Remember Keith Millard?
Yeah.
What a woo! Whoa, man! Hey, there was it wasn't all up there, man.
Elevated wasn't hitting the top floor.
No.
All right, let's stay in New York and go chat with Christian. Christian, how you doing today, buddy?
Hey guys, I have to say that I like Ben McAdoo's approach, being a conservative-minded offensive team, but you know, he does have to mix up the kind of routes a little more. And another thing is with the offensive line, you can't look that good when you need four new starters. And Pugh should honestly be your fourth or fifth best offensive lineman. And really, you have a lot of work to do replacing these guys. I mean, just about, you know, Pugh is borderline okay. You know, he's good at pass protection, but he cannot run block at all. He gets zero push. And the only guy we have that can get push is Fluker, so he definitely needs to continue to play on the field.
And, go ahead. Is that it?
Yep. Well, basically, it's just that, you know, none of these guys can run block. It looks like a college offensive line trying to go up against an NFL defensive line. They just look, you know, Fluker is your only chance, and as soon as he gets in the game, you actually start running the ball. And, you know, Jerry does not play to his size at all. So really, you have to know that you have three finesse linemen inside on the interior of your line when Fluker's not in there. You gotta balance that out and get some physicality in.
Well, thank you for the call, Christian. You know, I'm not going to get into the technical aspect.
No, they all got to. I mean, they have to be physical. That's part of the – that's a prerequisite of an offensive lineman.
I think that goes without saying if you're playing an offensive lineman in the National Football League.
But also, Ben McAdoo has said that, you know, we're a heavy-handed football team. I mean, heavy-handed means, you know, that's what he's talking about. And, you know, that has not been the case.
I think probably that has him stumped as much as anybody else.
Sure.
And Jerry, for that matter, as well.
You know what I'm waiting for? Not only am I waiting for a win, but I'm waiting for that elusive term, and it is elusive, that Ben has wanting to say that we played complimentary football.
Oh, you haven't seen anything remotely close to that for five games.
That's what you need.
You're right.
And I've told this on the show before, Russ, and I'm telling you, this is the way you win football games. If you can win all three phases, you're winning the football game. But you got to win two of them, okay? So, you know, if I look at the game this last weekend, I look at the offense, defense, and special teams, what would you say? What phases won the game, won their phase of the game? Of the three, I would have to think. To me, it's special teams.
Yeah, because Wing was doing a heck
Wing
of a job
doing
with
a
the
good
field
job,
position.
Yeah, so one of three that does not
and
equate
it's special
to win.
Teams. It's not your offense or your defense.
Yeah, so you really, you know, you got to win two of the three if your offense is doing well and it picks up for the defense and your special teams wins. Then you win the game two out of three. But the Giants for this one have not had two out of three in that case in any of the five games that they've played. Sometimes zero out of three.
John in New Jersey. John, how are we doing today? You're on with Russ and Jeff.
How's it going, guys?
Good. What's up, Johnny?
So, Russ, I got to take you to task a little bit, my friend.
Go ahead.
You guys work for the organization. When people call up and they badmouth Jerry Reese, you can't, you know, sit there and commiserate with them. But people weren't complaining about Brandon Marshall being signed and drafting Evan Engram because there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But people spent the entire summer, actually probably about 3 years, calling this very show that I listen to every day,
right,
complaining about the fact that he has been like utterly negligent in addressing the offensive line. So if you didn't hear those complaints, I don't know what you were listening
to. Well, no.
Every day people call up and complain about that. That's the issue.
John,
it's not the issue of what he did. It's the issue of what he didn't do.
John, I'm not complaining. That's a very fair point that you make. Offensive line, the question has been brought up, okay? And quite frankly, maybe more so than fans, more so from fans and some of you guys, because you guys, John, who call the show, are your hardcore, what I call your hardcore, dedicated Giants fans, okay? Having said, I wasn't just talking about fans. I was talking about media and everybody else. So, yes, that is a fair point. But what I'm saying to you is there wasn't the outcry. Like what you just said, you yourself just said, there was no problem with signing Engram or Marshall or Rhett right. Ellison, you know. But you're saying go ahead and sign it along with some offensive lineup? Well, I have no problem with that.
So I'll give you an example. And I love Lance Meadow, but like people will call like at the end of last season every day and say like, oh, we need offensive line. You're like, all right, we'll give him a chance. It hasn't started yet. And then July rolls around and people are still complaining. And Lance Meadow will say, well, what do you want him to do? There's nobody left. Like there's never accountability on Jerry Reese. He's created these problems. And it's if you think of any other profession in the world where you neglect such an obvious and just explicit need for 3 years and do nothing about it, there's no way you keep your job.
Well,
this wasn't a mystery.
Well, John, hang on 1 second. Your points are valid, but to say that there's no accountability, you don't think
but
there's
accountability, Russ? I heard he was on notice 3 years ago, and he did nothing to improve the situation. And don't tell me about what he did last year.
Let me ask you a question.
He went out and signed the three best defensive free agents there was for a ton of money. I'm not giving him an award for that.
John, let me ask you a question. Did you kill him for signing Eric Flowers?
When they
drafted Eric Flowers, you knew Eric Flowers wasn't going to be a...
I was in the basement of my friend's house saying, that is a disgusting reach for Eric Flowers. Look at this. He is not a left tackle. He refuses to spend money on the offensive line with veterans. So he said, I'm brilliant Jerry Reese. Every draft pick I make is great. I'm going to sit here and draft Eric Flowers because I think I know something that no one else does. I crucified him for that. Obviously, it's my word against yours at this point.
Well,
but
listen.
The only thing I can tell you is that's true. I don't write for the Daily News, so you don't know that.
John, God bless you. And you know, listen, if you made that first guess, good for you for doing it, but you know, I don't think
I was alone. Though.
I didn't hear a whole lot of people complaining. You know what I was hearing about when they drafted Eric Flowers? Wow, he's a mountain of a man. We can't wait to get this guy going. I heard all bravo and applause for drafting Eric Flowers.
Now
if you want to criticize,
there,
it hasn't worked.
I'll just say one more thing, and then I'll get off because I don't want to be Len and hold people up. I think all people thought he was going to be a right tackle then when he was drafted. And as a right tackle, I think you conceptualize that pick in a different way than when now suddenly, because of the Beatty injury, he gets thrust into the left tackle spot. So that's another caveat there.
All right, John, I thank you for the call, but I didn't hear a whole lot of complaints about Eric Flowers. And listen, I didn't hear any complaints about the drafting of Eric Flowers. I mean, everybody was applauding the size of this guy. Well, great. Has it worked out to everybody's liking? No.
Goes back to the earlier caller when they said, you know, it's you base the information and the question should be right up front, not at the end when he's not playing well. But, you know, there were a lot of people that didn't see Eric Flowers as a left tackle or even a right tackle. They saw him as a guard. But, you know, you have to live with the decisions you make. Every general manager does. Okay, this isn't just Jerry Reese. Every general manager makes mistakes, and some of them can cost you. In this situation, Jerry Reese went to bat for the guys that he thought could play on that offensive line, the same five that were there last year. He put his money in his eggs in a basket and said, listen, I believe in these players. I drafted them. I brought free agents in. Okay, and that's all you can ask the guy to do. If that's his philosophy, you have to live with it if you're a Giants fan.
And okay? his philosophy going into this season was, I mean, I remember him saying that. I was there, you know, when he asked about help for the offensive line. He said, listen, these guys have had a lot of snaps together. We expect them to be better.
They're two young tackles. I'm just repeating what he's saying.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying as well. If you wanted to know what his thinking was, his philosophy was, that's what he said.
Yeah. And listen, and what's happened? Well, they haven't played the way that he thought that they would. They haven't matured the way that they thought that he would. And what's the end result? The end result is that they're having problems with the offensive line. And the end result is, like Lance said, what do you want him to do? Go out and find somebody? His philosophy at the beginning was, I don't need to find anybody. These are the guys I'm going to play with, and I'm hoping that they work out. Well, they haven't worked out all that they're supposed to. And the fact is, you can't go and find guys on the street right now. They're going to come in and learn a new offense and be any better than the guys that are here now. There's just the availability. It's like the housing market. The inventory is not there.
From the real estate guy. Let's listen. Joe's been hanging on in PA. Joe, how are we doing today, my friend?
Wonderful, guys. You know what I mean?
Hey, Joe.
The Jews are doing well.
I didn't see the Joe from PA.
If you have to put a title on the season for the Giants, it would be, for me, welcome to my nightmare. You know what I mean? And it ain't even Halloween yet.
Yeah, so. But you know what, Joe? The difference between a nightmare is better, because a nightmare you wake up from. This is reality. We're living through it.
Yep. Well, like the Giants haven't woken up, and you know what I mean? They have me in a nightmare. So I have a question for you and Jeff here. And, you know, everybody's been hitting on the points. And it is everybody. It is the whole team and the coaching. Russ, have you seen a more, you know, for 0-5, a more talented team, really?
Well, that's the thing why everybody – I said this. I don't know if you were watching yesterday, Joe.
Going
into that locker room, I have been in post-game locker rooms where – a losing locker room after a game 7 of a championship series, of a Stanley Cup, of World Series. I've been into all those locker rooms.
Yep, I know you've been around.
And I'm telling you something. That Giants locker room was the saddest post-game locker room, Jim, I had ever been in, ever. I put a exclamation mark after that. The reason I say ever, not because of the 0-5, it was the combination of the injuries and everybody beat up and everybody in shell shock.
I understand.
It was terrible.
I understand that, but still, they still have the talent even to here to play together, to stop making all these stupid mistakes and stuff like that. Another one was Darkroy. He ran in for a touchdown. He was playing so well, but they had to bench him because they drew a couple little passes to him, and he's dropping him little balls. You know, it's just in all the penalties, like you said, veteran guys lining off sides, you know, the kicking team, what it continues to do. That's my question for you, Jeff. With these kickers here, the punt, is he trying to sideline them, or what is he doing? Can he just kick it square and down the field, you know, in big spots? You know, that really hurt us there. And the same thing with the kickoff team sometimes. You know, are they trying to put the ball, like, on the 5-yard line in the air so they can get him back in there? Why doesn't he just kick? He has the ability to kick it out of the end zone instead of even giving them that chance at times.
Thank you for the call, Joe. We just got about a minute or so to go. Go ahead. I wanted to ask you about
Brad
Wing
quickly.
Anyway.
It's you don't know, because sometimes there's planned kicks down to the goal line, and you know, and then as a viewer you say, well, why can't he kick it out of the end zone when he wasn't told to do it? And then from the punting standpoint, that's just up to Brad Wing and what they want to do. They want to eliminate it, so you can't kick it down the middle of the field as far as you can, because you're putting a gun to your head saying, you know, this guy can return it for a touchdown, a.k.a. DeSean Jackson play. So you got to go with your best kick there and either try to put it on the sideline or put it outside the numbers and rely really on your guys to go.
You know, when those two shank punts happen, I mean, I'm thinking about my buddy over here, and I'm saying to myself, and everybody, to a man, lady, everybody, Brad Wing is a very, very good punter.
Sure.
He's a weapon. I think we can all agree on that. And that kind of encapsulates everything that's gone wrong. All of a sudden, this weapon, this very good, talented guy who was having good games up until that moment, comes up 2 weeks in a row with a 28-yarder and a 15-yarder in a crucial situation. Then the defense can't make stops. It goes to exactly what Jeff said earlier in the show. We have not seen one game where it's all been complimentary, offense, defense.
Well, maybe we see one this week coming up on Sunday night. By the way, these are big games. Sunday night 8:30 game is the game. It used to be Monday Night Football.
No,
now Sunday night at 8:30 is the game. So if there's ever a chance for this Giants team to turn it around in front of a national audience and not get go on the road and just get embarrassed, this is it. This is the one.
Well, like we've been saying, you know, since last week. Last week when they were 0-4, they can't get to 1-4 before they – well, now it's 0-5. They got to win one. And for fans who want to think daffodils and all good thoughts about –
daffodils.
5-5, you can't get there. I mean, you can get there, but you got to win them one at a time. And this team just – they haven't felt good about themselves for 5 weeks.
No.
They need a reason to feel good about themselves. And
well, they need to get a win for themselves. They need to get a win for the organization and for the fans. And that would be nice.
Right now they're up against it big time because that's a tough road that they're going to out in Mile
High. That's why you play the
games. In Denver. Anyway, that's a wrap on today. I am Russ Salzberg along with Jeff Figos. Thank you for being part of Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. We will see you next time.